week. Here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
That all our enemies will crumble at our feet. Whatever we find on earth shall be found in heaven. And at the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. We've got to stop us, but the Church of Jesus, oh, it's still alive. Like the mighty army, we keep marching onward, winning every battle with the Lord on my side.
Name of the Lord. Though Satan might rage and marshal his host and boast around that he's got the power, but we have the power that can overcome. Jesus said, because I have overcome the world, ye shall overcome also. So today, I'm glad to report victory. I'm thankful for you. I appreciate you. I hope that there's anybody in my listening audience that's sick and afflicted. I'm going to be praying for you in just a little while. But I want you to remember Martin and your prayers. Remember me. I'm doing much better. I had those stents put in my heart, and I'm doing much better. But I was weakened by that. But anyhow, if God be for me, there's no power that will ever stand against me. Okay? Let's go right now and listen to this song, and I hope you enjoy this one also.
I know that the Bible says, when you've done all that you can do to stand, then stand. I know that it's hard sometimes to look through those tear-stained eyes, still see the scars in those hands. Just you keep the this in mind, that when time seems so hard to find, surely you've not reached the end. When the whole world has let you down, Jesus, he can still be found. If you tried it all, just look to him. Look to him, for he only, when heartaches make lonely, when the days, when the nights are closing in, sometimes, why questions get so hard to understand, but then, I like this part right here, you see, I know someone that knows it all, he knows every little spiral fall, yet he's so big, he can hold the world in just one hand. He's so big he rides on breeze that blows, yet in your heart the only one that knows all the heartaches, all the trouble you're in. So when life seems everything but good, why remember him? He's the only one that could. If you've tried it all, just look to him. Look to him, for he only, when heartaches make lonely, when the days, when the nights start closing in, he can vanish to midnight, he can call back the sunlight. So how will it end? Look to him. Oh, he's gonna vanish all of your midnights. He's gonna bring back the sunlight. So how will it end?
Yes, sir, child of God, I'm saying look to him, the author and the finisher of our faith. I was thinking about my good friend Bobby and Alicia Coulter and Cinda. I appreciate these folks. They've been friends of mine for many years and have supported this broadcast. Also, Louise and James Ellison, appreciate them. They stood faithful with me. And Barry and Patty Harper, I want you to pray for Patty. And like I said a while ago, continue to pray for Martha. And I've got so many people. I ran into a young man the other day, said he heard the broadcast. And I'll tell you, so many people listen to this broadcast. It's so important to them. And I'm thankful for that. It's good to know that people listen when you sing or when you preach or whatever we do. But we're so glad that God is using us as a servant of the Lord for his work, not for my edification, but for the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. So let's go right now and let Martha do this song, and then I'll come back with today's message.
I'm not on an eagle tree. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes, I often slip, just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. The look of love was on his face. His head, blood was on his scarlet robe, stained a crimson red, though his eyes was on the crowd that day, he looked ahead.
The great story of the great Exodus. If you begin to read its beginning and begin to follow its direction, a man named Moses, it began when he was a small child. Moses should have died. After all of the Hebrew men, children were being slain at that time. But God had a purpose and a plan, and he began to work it at the beginning of Moses' life. Moses was laid in the bulrush, as the story was told. He was raised in the Pharaoh's home. He was mothered by the Pharaoh's daughter in the home of Pharaoh himself. He grew up under the Egyptian taskmasters. He was one to be called the next ruler of Egypt. He studied the laws and the gods and everything that was to be studied in the Egyptians' time. But it seemed that his life began to change. You see, even though that he was brought up in the house of Pharaoh, he was still a Hebrew. He was still one of the chosen people of God. But Moses didn't realize just how much he was to be chosen of God. But one day he saw something happening and he interceded. You know the story goes of how he slain a man, and because of this he was banished to the backside of the desert. But then again we see God's plan and purpose begin to work in his life. God had to get him out of his setting and bring him where he could talk to him and speak to him on a personal level. You know the story of how that he met with Jethro and how that he had married this young lady and how he was raising a family. One day he was keeping the sheep of Jethro back on the backside of the desert, when all of a sudden God began to intervene in his life. All of a sudden something happened on a hillside. The Bible said that the mountain just seemed to light up. And he said, I will turn aside and see this great sight. You know the story how it goes and how that Moses goes up on top of the mountain. And when he got there, the amazing thing happened. Now, Alfred Hitchcock would have took this and made a bestseller out of it. But Moses, when he got on that mountain, the glow of the presence of God in a bush burning but not consuming. And Moses was startled by the burning bush. And as he draws near to the burning bush, not only was it burning and not consuming, but now this bush begins to speak. And out of the bush comes a voice. And the voice said to Moses, "Moses, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground." He said to Moses, "Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and I want you to bring deliverance to my people. I want you to go back to Pharaoh and I want you to tell him that God has sent you to tell him to let the people go." When Moses said, "But God, they won't believe me. Why, the Egyptians won't believe me, and even the Israelite people won't believe me. Who will I say sent me?" And God said, "Tell him that I am, has sent you." Can you imagine going back to a place where he'd been banished? A place where his head was already, his face was on the most wanted list in among the Egyptians? Why, surely his thought was, "I'll be killed on sight. They'll not allow me to come back to Egypt because I've already been banished from the land." But then again, he goes into the Egyptians. And he says to Pharaoh, "Pharaoh, the Lord has sent me. And the message is, let the people go." And you know the story of how the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. God said he would harden the heart of Pharaoh. I've never understood that part, but then again, I do understand it. But that's another message entirely. But the heart of Pharaoh is hardened. His heart becomes hardened. And he states, "Who is this God that I should obey him? After all, he's living in a land of many, many gods." And Moses comes with his God and says, "The God, Yahweh, the great I am, the more powerful, the sovereign God of the universe has sent me to tell you to let the people go." But yet he said, "I don't know your God, and I will not obey your God." You remember how that it got hard then? Because of this message, everything got harder. The taskmasters got harder. The slaves were driven harder. They were made to make bricks and make more bricks because they were being oppressed by the Egyptians. And they hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Many plagues came upon them and they battled through every one of them only to have to face another plague. And finally, Pharaoh says to Moses, "Moses, get the people and get them out of my land." And now the journey begins. All of the millions of people, we don't know how many. As a matter of fact, I haven't run into a scholar yet that can tell you the exact amount of people that was among that great Exodus. Now it has been challenged, they said, because archaeologists said it's impossible to take that many people across the desert in which the Bible says they went. It's impossible to feed them. But the Bible said they were fed from manna from heaven. And the Bible also says that they begin their journey. But as they begin their journey, something happened. Pharaoh all of a sudden realized what is going on. So therefore, he pursues after Moses and the children of Israel. I'm trying to set the framework for the picture. And now all of a sudden, they come to a place where the enemy is behind and the sea is before them. That's when the grumbling begins. That's when the complaining begins. "Moses, did we not have graves in Egypt? Would it not have been better to eat the leeks and the cucumbers? Why have you brought us to this desert that we must now die? The enemy behind, the sea is in front of us. Moses, look where you've led us to." But all of a sudden, God begins to develop the picture. He says to Moses, "Moses, stand before the people." And as Moses stood before the people, he said, "Stand still and see the salvation of your God." They're going to see the supernatural. They're going to see the miraculous work of God Himself. But he says to Moses, "Moses, what is that in your hand?" And he said, "It's nothing but a mere staff, God." Now, I'm kind of dramatizing it now. "It's nothing but a mere staff, God. I lean upon it. I walk by it." He said, "Stretch it out over the sea." I'm here to ask you as a church this morning, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? The enemy is behind. The sea is before us. All of a sudden we've come to a place where it seemed like it would have been better had we died in the wilderness. You know, it's a long journey sometime from Egypt's bondage to the promised land. We're going to run into many obstacles and many situations. We're going to come to the same situation that Moses is now faced with. We're going to come to a hopeless and helpless situation. We're going to come to a place where the enemy is behind and the sea is before us. There is no way now of escape. We either die at the hands of the enemy or we'll die at the hands of the sea. God said, stand still and see my salvation. What do we have in our hands? Let's move into the book of Matthew. And let's look at a very honest and plain statement that Jesus said to the disciples. Who does men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they begin to say, thou art Elias, thou art Jeremiah, thou art one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, because flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I will give unto you the keys to the kingdom. Let's examine those keys today. Because you see, those keys that God hath given us will either unlock the doors or they will lock the doors. Because you see, the key is that passage that leads us through the door. Isn't it the same picture that we're seeing back there in Egypt's bondage? The enemy is behind and the sea is before us. We have the keys in our hand that can unlock the door or either lock the door. You know, I stand amazed sometimes. And I say to you, parents, your children are too valuable to depend upon somebody else to open that door that they might find salvation. They're too valuable. God give you that child. Not by 100,000 miles. He thought you need some sunshine. And he lent him to you for just a little while. You have the key that can unlock the door to that young boy. You have the key that can unlock the door to that young girl. Or again, you have the key that can lock the door and they will never, never enter. Don't trust your children to the superintendent of the Sunday school, which Scott Mayberry is a mighty fine person. But what I'm trying to say is you, Mom, you, Dad, you can unlock the door. You can do more with your child than the pastor can. You can do more with your child than the superintendent can. You can do more with your child than the teacher can. You have the key that can unlock the door. You have the key that can lead that young boy or young girl to Christ. But what are you going to do with the key? But then again, we not only can unlock the door, but we can lock the door. Because you see, that little boy thinks you're a big, big man. That little girl thinks you're a big, big woman. You have influence with that child. You may not realize just how much influence you have. On the job, you have
you've been in the storm, and it seems like forever. And your nights of confusion, they've been oh so long. Your ship has lost anchor, and the storm's got you drifting. But the night's almost over, so ride out your storm. God's right there with you. Though you may not feel Him, you're never alone. You're hurting now, but the morning is coming. Thank you. promise. I'll never forsake you, though the waters be raging. They'll do you no harm. Don't give up the battle, for your answer is coming. Hold on to Jesus. Ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. God's right there with you. Though you may not feel Him.
Our Father, we may not know who is in that storm. We may not know who's going through that battle. But we do know the sin is on the rampage. God said, if I be for you, there's no power that will ever stand against you. It doesn't mean that we'll be free from sin. We're always battled on every hand. But you have the power, you have the authority, and you give it to us. You said, what's in your hand? We said, nothing but a staff. He said, stretch it out over the sea and see if I'm not God. So we need to stretch forth our hands and say, God, into your hands we commit this service to you. I pray today for someone that listening this morning that needs prayer, that needs lifted up, Lord, in any sickness or affliction or going through a battle. I pray that you'll bless them some way or another, undergird them, and give them the strength that they need to move forward for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, neighbor, it has been good to be with you today. I want to remember Mary Jo and Ed Ballingy over in Peterstown, then Carol and Ann Cole. Don't want to forget these two folks. They've been mighty faithful to us to help us here on the radio ministry. And Ed and Mary Jo has been great to help us. I'm hoping that they're doing real well. I haven't talked to Ed for a while, but I hope that he's doing real good. And then Mary Jo is doing well also. And then Ruby Dixon, I received a gift from her this week, and I appreciate that, Ruby. Thank you. You don't know what that means to me right now. But anyhow, I appreciate your love offering. So, and Miss Arvin Neely, Doris Neely, I want to remember her in prayer. I hope that she's doing real well too. And then I want to remember Miss Glenna Brown. I haven't heard from Miss Glenna Brown. I hope that she's doing well and continue to listen to the radio ministry. Well, it has been good to be with you, but until the same time next Sunday, may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Today's broadcast and or music tapes by Tommy and Martha are available by request. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing to Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.
WKLS-FM, Beckley, Princeton, Lewisburg, a West Virginia Radio Corporation station.